You're listening to a 58 Ember production.
Hey, I'm Erica Muller, host of Here For It. Self-discovery is an endless journey, and each week I'm bringing on experts, industry leaders, and friends, where we'll be talking all things life, fashion and beauty, personal development, and probably some pop culture along the way as well. Here For It is your weekly space to get grounded, regroup, and be inspired to live your best life. Because really, we're all figuring it out as we go. And I'm here for you. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Hi guys, welcome back to Here For It. My name is Erica Muller. For anyone new around here, welcome. I'm very happy to have you. And welcome to the season finale. I can't believe we're already at the end of season four. How crazy. I feel like that flew by. But I'm really happy to be ending the season with this episode. I have Sunny Marquardt back on the podcast. And if you haven't listened to any of her other episodes, I think this is the fourth time she's come on. She is a career coach. She's worked with A-list celebrities and Fortune 500 companies. She really knows what she's talking about when it comes to career advice, and I just have so much respect for her. The last time she came on the podcast, we were chatting afterwards, and she was telling me how she uses personality quizzes with a lot of her clients and the companies that she works with. And I was really intrigued by this. I've never taken a personality test before. I've heard of them. And so I'd asked her if she'd be interested in doing a full episode on personality quizzes. And she was so on board. And so she sent me four of the ones that she routinely likes to use. And they're all linked in the show notes for your convenience. And as we go over each one of these in the episode, and we go over some of my results, and Sunday shares some of hers, she gives really, really good explanations as to what certain things mean from each quiz. And you can get so much out of just listening to that without having to take the quiz yourself. I think you can learn a lot from how someone describes ways in which people operate, and you'll likely know what resonates with you and what doesn't. For example, my insights discovery results completely stumped her. You'll hear her say in this episode that she needs to call the company because she actually doesn't know what to do with my results. And so, like, you have to take all of this with a grain of salt, right? Like, this is for fun. Yes, you can learn things from it. Maybe it'll help you have an epiphany of some sort, but this is all in good fun. And while a lot of companies these days, I hear, have their employees take it, it's just a tool. And I say this because while I do think there's validity and reasons as to why you might want to take personality quizzes, I also think you need to enter them with caution. There can be a lot of dogma around getting results of any kind with any sort of labeling. And I approached this with a we'll see kind of mindset. Like, we'll see what these say, but at the end of the day, I get to decide. I'm not living my life by an electronic computer quiz, you know? But I do also think there's opportunity for reflection and to gain tools or even just to have a fun conversation. And for all of those reasons, if you feel called to take any of these, you'll know whether it's for you or whether it's not. But like I mentioned, Sunday does a really great job of explaining and going in depth with certain things and certain personality types throughout this. So you'll get a lot without even having to take any of these. So I hope you enter this episode with an open mind. You'll learn a lot about me. You'll probably laugh. And overall, I just thought this was like a really interesting thing to note that is out there in the world. And if you are somebody who likes things like this to help create validity in your life or to have tools to fall on, I think this could be a good option for you. But again, listen to your gut. And if something like gives you that ping, you'll know it's for you. And if you listen to this and you're like, meh, then it's not. And that's totally fine. But the information is here for you and you're allowed to do whatever you'd like with it. So with all that being said, let's dive in. Here is Sunday and here are a lot of my results. So you sent me four personality quizzes that you routinely like to use. What is your goal in having someone take one or all of these?
Well, first of all, I just sent you four.
Yeah.
Because there's so many out there for very different purposes, but I picked the four that I get asked the most to talk about. So first of all, I'll preface that. First of all, I think assessments make people feel legit. It's a legitimizing thing. Instead of, let's just talk about you, you know, it's like something backed up a little bit more with science that helps them discover more about them. So, and then they can bring it to the table. All right. So I'll just tell the listeners the four. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Start with there. So the four that I chose were Myers-Briggs, which the free one that I sent you was 16personalities.com. That's out there. It's like a cheat sheet, shorter one, but there is a way to do the much longer one. And then I sent you Working Geniuses. And then I sent you Insights Discovery. And then as well as Clifton Strength Finders. So yes. you took all four for me.
I took all of them.
Yeah.
Yes. It was actually a really interesting experience taking them because I've never taken like a personality quiz before.
Oh my goodness. I feel like some people, okay, I have five kids. I have some that are like, oh, at the dinner table, let's talk more. And then I have some that are like, enough. Because some people love them and some people just hate them. So yeah. What camp did you land in? Curiosity or like where did you land?
So it was actually interesting because I feel like there were two different experiences. There was the experience of actually taking each quiz, and sure. Then there was the experience of going through the results. And I feel like it was different. I definitely leaned into curiosity with it. I think I'm a little bit more hesitant in just like taking a quiz and accepting everything as 100% fact or truth.
That's wise.
So I had like a little bit of skepticism with it. I think I also had assumptions about like what I thought I would be told. And I will say that everything that it came back was so much more in depth than I thought that it would be. I thought it was going to be a lot of like, you're either a logical thinker or you're a creative thinker, or you work better in a group or you work better independently. I thought it was going to be a little bit more superficial, I guess. I had no idea it would be so in depth. All of them as they were. Yeah.
All of them. I know. And I always feel like, this is where I'm not a psychologist in this way. Like, I'm amazed that these questions pull all those results out. I had several people one particular quote of a client who took Insights Discovery, and they were like, how did those 15 minutes read my soul? That was what they said.
Yes, because that one, when you get it back, it reads almost like a story. It's not just like, you are this. It's like very interesting, and it's very long.
It's very long. It's very long. Yeah, that one takes a lot. So what direction? First of all, I'd love to preface this. I think it's so important to tell people that it is a psychological assessment, which means that it isn't science. It does have statistics and data. It does. Attached to it. And there's even white papers on all of them. However, they should never be used to hire someone ever. That is illegal too. It's illegal to say, oh, we're going to have you take this. And because of this result, we're going to hire you, because it is a psychological assessment and you can trick it. You can lie and trick it. So I also say it's very hard, but I also say your mood could potentially sway or change. It's shifting a little bit. So I have had some people come back and say, this feels very not me. And when they really push back like that, I'm like, let's do it again.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's really just, they were in a bad space. And the second time might be a little bit closer, might be a little bit closer to them. So I just think that's important to say. It's also never about putting anyone in a box. I don't like, these aren't about labeling people. It's really about self-discovery. What did you learn from it? It's not about, this is what you are and this is what you are not. It's more like, what do you think? What did you understand more about yourself? And what did also, I always tell people, was there anything you disagreed with? Because absolutely there's going to be pieces that you disagreed with, because it's never 100% accurate. So I think that's really important to declare for those skeptics out there who are like, well, that line I disagree with. Well, guess what? In my own assessment, there's lines that I disagree with.
Yeah. I love that you said that. I actually have a friend who I told that I was taking all these quizzes on, and she was telling me that her sister at her job, everybody has taken the Myers-Briggs test, and on their like nameplate on their desk, it has their personality type next to it. And to me, I was like, oh my God, this feels like kind of like Scarlet Letter. Like, I don't know if like, is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I love that after you're hired. See, I love that now, because I think that a lot of times people do it for culture. I have another company who out in DC that every time you're hired, part of their hiring process after you're hired is to take insights discovery, and everyone on their desks has this. And they have, I know it's so what I'm holding up is Legos, and it's the color order of your colors. So it's like, so I am a yellow, red, green, blue. And so, and they keep it on their desk, and because it gives them common communication, because that one is a lot about how we communicate. And so they use it so that you can just briefly remember, oh yeah, there's sunshine yellow over there. And by the way, that's not typecasting either. It's, I means I lead with sunshine yellow. I could still lead with red and green and blue on different days, but generally I lead with sunshine yellow. And so it gives them a common language internally to work with each other. And I kind of love that. I kind of love that as well.
Okay. I'm glad you bring this up, because this is something I had a question for you about, after going through all of these, and we can dive into each of them in a second, but my one reservation that I had after going through everything was that, well, I guess it's a two part. It takes time and energy and effort to understand your own answers. And then two, I don't know what anybody else's are. Like, it wasn't giving me results for how somebody else could be. And so to learn all of these other types for somebody else, and the Myers-Briggs was like a bunch of percentages. And so I'm like, somebody else could be, I mean, there's probably like a million different ways that you could get those results.
You could. So that's a great, so that's one. First of all, when I was talking with this one company that chose the insights one, they were like, why that one? And I'm like, so for your friend that has the 16, I find that one to be a really tough one for a company to have all the results on, because first of all, the spectrum is really wide. So if you're an E or an I or a P or a J, if you really look at the results, their spectrum is like, are you on the 50% line? Are you on the 70? So that changes a lot of the dynamics of their letter. So, and there's 16 types. So if I look at yours, how am I supposed to quickly learn anything about you? I'm like, okay, ISTJ, like, what does that mean for me? How does this help me in my work relationship with you? And that's supposed to be the whole purpose, is that it's supposed to somehow help me in my work relationship with you. And so when I was trying to sell which one this company should use as a company culture, I'm like, I like the four colors because it's like four.
Yeah.
And it's exactly. More like, and it's less, there is percentage. And by the way, also the number thing is the whole company went through a training. So everyone was trained, and every year they hire me back for, if there's a group of people who have been hired in a lump, they redo it. But now what they've just started doing is every time someone's hired, they do an hour session with me. So they pay me an hourly rate to make sure that they're good to go, so that they are fully in the know and not left out of what the company's culture. Isn't that cool though? So it's like you understand, you shouldn't go in like, oh.
I agree. I feel like stuff like this and learning how people operate and their minds and stuff. I mean, I've had so many people on this podcast talk about like the way your brain works and like science behind things, because I find it just so fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I have always recognized that we are all so bio-individual. And so it's like, I can't expect somebody else to think or operate in the same way that I do. And so to have somebody come and say like, here's an overview of everything, so you're on the same page, is like,
right. It's overwhelming.
Almost a luxury though at this point, because I feel like so many people don't do it.
Yeah. By the way, it's a fantastic thing to do in a relationship. Mm. I've often encouraged, before I got Insights Discover, I used to encourage people to do Myers-Briggs, and I still love that one. That was my very first aha one. Like, that one's just got a lot of strength, weaknesses. It talks a lot about jobs, love, relationship. Like, wow, there is a lot there. So, and I felt like that was a great one for relationships, especially the P and the J, that's that last letter. That one was a really big aha for me, because J's really love decisions made. And P's mm-hmm. love options. So they also love to-do lists like done. And P's are like a little bit more open sometimes about timelines. You know, they always say that a P RSVPs writes things on their calendar jokingly in pencil. And J's love to write in pen because when they say it, they're like, we're going. And V's are like, maybe, you know, like they might weigh in their options, right? It's kind of a joke. But if you know that relationally yeah. about your partner, first of all, it's a conflict, but how do you deal with that? How do you, and by the way, couples fight most on weekends because the week there's a routine to safeguard you against fighting. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because your routines keep you like in you can control your lanes more. It's the weekends where all of a sudden things get muddy in relationships because you're like, if you're a J, you want to control the whole thing. You want to know exactly. You want to plan it. You want to plan it on Tuesday. P's are like, could we just slide into this thing? You know what I mean? Like, you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? And so if you're in a relationship with a P, you're like, that's annoying, right? They say that J's even like to plan when they're going to relax. That's a joke. It's like, there's even like scheduled relaxation time. Like it's like, that's the extreme joke. But like, so an example of a great aha with each other would be P's are like, let there be some parts of the weekend where there's no plans. And then if the J is like, compromise with me and let me schedule some things. So it's mm-hmm. It's a conversation where there's some plans and some places where there's no plans. Or if I have 15 things on my to-do list, they might say to the P, could you commit to 3? You get it? It's like, so then we're not yelling at, it's like, we're like, all right, there's a compromise. But if we don't know that about each other, then we're just angry at each other and we don't know why. We're just mm-hmm. angry. So I love this for relationships.
Yeah. I was actually surprised when I took that one. It has like career, relationship, friendship, you know, all these things. Friendship. I was surprised.
I know. I love that one. I love that one. So that one is a great individual realization one. Yeah. If I was to move on to, is it okay? Did you have another question on that one? You interrupt me anytime. The working genius one. I'm mm-hmm. going to spend less time on this one. But what I love about this one is, it's just about a whole team. It's like mostly for this one, an individual doesn't usually hire me. A team hires me to showcase that there's 6 types, right? So there's 6 types on it, and I'll just read them for the listener. And it's by Patrick Lencioni. He talks about the 5 dysfunctions of team, and then he also has this one. His book, 5 Dysfunctions of Team, is like spot on. Mm. But he has wonder, invention, discernment, galvanizing, enablement, and tenacity. And so he basically, you land into two areas. You find out the 2 areas in which you're a genius over, which means that's where I get the most joy and passion out of. So for me, it's galvanizing and discernment. And then I have these 2 areas that are called working competencies. It means I'm neither energized nor de-energized by these 2 things. I'm just good at them, mm-hmm. which ones are wonder and enablement. It's like, I'm great at those 2. And then it also shows my angst one, you know, the one that I have to struggle with, which is my working frustration. So what's really great about this one is we work through them. I have a million exercises, lots of ahas, but what's, I think the biggest aha is often that I show the graph of the whole team. Mm. So then what you realize is where are our deficits? Where are our deficits on a team? If we have a whole bunch of galvanizers, but we don't have a lot of closers, I'm using the wrong word, but like people who like finish the project, mm-hmm. ooh, we need to get we need more of that on our team. Or maybe that's why our team is not functioning at its greatest capacity. So that is what I love about working genius. Simple as that.
Yeah.
It's kind of cut and dry. What were you?
So this was the one that I actually thought was I most disagreed with.
All right. Tell me about it.
So it told me my bottom was wonder and galvanizing. And I, after I read through everything, I actually thought wonder should have been in my top. Oh. I feel like I use my daydreaming imagination so frequently. And so it was kind of surprising to see that at the bottom. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then my top was tenacity and discernment. I thought the tenacity was accurate. I am very like If I commit
that's
to
that J, that's very connected to the J in your Myers-Briggs.
Oh, then that makes sense.
That's a very similar, like it's committing to finishing.
Yeah.
Keep going.
And so it was and then discernment, which I thought was fine, but I just was mostly surprised that the wonder ended up at the bottom.
Yeah. The thing with discernment too, is it's, remember the words are, it assesses the merit and workability of the idea and solution. So it's still a little bit about ideation and solutioning, which is, but it's a little bit three levels lower than wonder. Wonder is very like, it's very high in the sky. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It's just like one level. Oh, whereas this, the discernment one is like, listen, guys, I'm assessing here that what you're talking about, your merits for some ideating and some solutioning.
Okay.
So it doesn't mean that you don't sit in the land of wonder. You just kind of are a little more practical in your wonder. You're like,
okay,
I hear there's a need for it. Let's talk about it. So there's potentially that, but also it's your place to disagree. That's what I love about these too. It's like, you know yourself better than honestly, than the assessment does. It does.
Yeah. But it's also nice to talk to you about it because like, you know, you work with this all the time and you understand these. And so I can only get so much from reading paper, you know, like True. It can only go so deep. And so for you explaining it, I'm like, oh, okay. Like I can see this more now that you've explained that, you know?
Yeah. Right. Yep. Yeah. So that's interesting there. So that's that one. That one's like, it's the one that I do the least, but it's the one that I'm getting more and more requests over. So I thought I would throw it out there, and I'm continuing to learn more and more. It also has the least amount of data right now because it's newer. So,
oh, interesting.
So that's also kind of where we're at with that one because it's about 2 years old. So whereas like Myers and all these other ones, they're like 10, they're like year old, you know what I mean? Tons of data there. So yeah. Any other questions on that one? Or can I talk about insights?
Oh, you can move on. Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right. So insights one, this one's probably my favorite of the three.
Yeah.
The one that you said was the really long report.
Yeah.
The one with colors. What I love most about this one is it shows the color energy that you lead with. So there's four color energies. You're either going to lead with sunshine yellow energy, with bright, fiery red energy. And it kind of speaks for itself. I feel like, earth green energy, or cool blue energy. And I'm going to read to you the things that are on my Legos because it's interesting, because it says, yellow says involve me. Red says be brief, be bright, be gone, which that one cracks me up because it's like, and it's like when you're communicating with a red. Greens are like show me you care. And then blues are like give me more details. Mm. And so where this really helps me is, so many ways. And remember how you were like, I can't change 100% the way I communicate with everyone, or I'd be morphing all day long, right?
Yeah.
However, I try to pick up on pretty quickly small cues, especially when I'm working one-on-one with clients. And I have a lot of clients who are cool blues. And what they need for me is to focus more on data when I'm coaching with them versus just, hey, which I'm a sunshine yellow. So I could be like, shooting the breeze and being that is going to annoy the crud out of them. You get it? So I pull my sunshine yellow energy down and lift my cool blue up, which is data. My face is a lot more serious. I'm focused. I'm to the point. I'm like, I get doom, 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 doom. It's like, and they also want to like labor out and draw out a lot of the things a little bit more in detail than I probably would. They're often the ones that I say, when I say, tell me what you do, I'm like, oh God, here it goes. And they go way too long telling me every detail. You know, that you can, that's an indication often of a cool blue, right? And an indication of a green is like, they're so thoughtful of others. They're very others oriented. The blue, the green and the yellows are a little bit more of the feelers, and the reds and the blues are a little bit more of the logicals. All energies care for people. They're just leading a little more in those directions.
Sure.
And, they're always going to be leading with things like, can I get you a drink? Would you like me to do? Can I grab that for you? It's like, they just lead with showing others that they care. And they also love to be cared for. Man, they're great. I'm married to one, but they also have their weaknesses too, by the way. Whoa. They're slow. They're like, they can sometimes, I'm like, come on. But that's because I'm a yellow red. So we're like this. Right. Yeah. And they're like, So I was thinking in my thoughtful ways, and I'm like, oh, Lord Jesus, right?
Like, get to the point.
Get to the point, right?
Let me speed this up.
And of course, yellows are like, who can do this with me? Who would like to have a drink with me? Who would like to, while we're learning together? Like, it's very, they are very much motivators, things like that, you know? So I'm picking up on that energy. They often use exclamations sometimes when they're writing. So you can even notice these things in emails. And reds, they're like, let's get to work. They're like quick, they're sharp, boom, 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 boom. They want to close loops and get things done. Also, I've noticed with blues, by the way, they often are about accuracy too. Mm-hmm. They're like, can we get it done and get it done right? So you can see where sometimes they take also a long time too, because they're looking for perfection. Mm-hmm. And that, okay, so you get it. So the point of these four colors is, I've been working with a client or a coworker, and I just happen to know their color. I'm just going to be a little more patient and tolerant, knowing that's how they lead. And it's helpful.
Yeah.
That's my favorite one. And on the report, what stood out to you? I would love to shut up on insights and say, what were ahas for you?
Okay. So I felt like, let me pull it up.
Right here. And what were your colors? I totally want to know.
Okay. So this is, I'm pulling that up too, because I'm not, this was in the graph at the bottom, right?
Yeah. So you're probably like, what's conscious and less conscious, right? You didn't probably know.
No. Yes. Okay. So for the persona, the conscious, do you want the percentages?
Yeah. Do the conscious side first. Yes.
Okay. Conscious. 63% red.
Uh-huh.
61% green, 58% yellow, 49% blue.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. You're very interesting. Okay. And that was the conscious. And then I'll tell you, I'll read your leaves to you in just a minute.
Please do.
Okay. And then the less conscious?
42% blue, 37% okay. green, and then 51% yellow, and 39% red.
Holy cow. You're interesting. Okay. Wow. Okay. So, wow. Very interesting. Okay, so first of all, the difference between the conscious and the less conscious. Conscious is like, it's you showing up for what you think people need from you.
Okay.
So sometimes it's determined even by your job. It's like, this is what the feedback I've been given, or it's the job that I've been given. So in your life, for some reason, what you feel people need a lot from you is a lot of red. And a lot of green, you get it? And a lot of yellow, and your blue is like 49%. So you're like, whoosh, you get it? So you show up in the world when you are in a conscious state, trying to like, I'm not going to say please. It's like, just perform like in this like work state of mind using those colors. Any color above the 50% line means it's a high energy color, which means that you are an accommodating color. Which means that you have three colors above the 50% line, which is very rare. It's 9%. I think it's like, it's a lower, that's not as a higher percentage. Most people have two colors. It's called the classic color, which means that you stretch yourself with three colors throughout the day. You're like, I'm red, I'm green, I'm yellow. You know what I mean? But your red is your highest leading color throughout the day. Okay.
Yeah.
As you're in like work mode. Now the graph in the middle is called your preference flow. Which mm-hmm. is your highest arrow?
The red and the green are like equal, and the yellow and the blue are very equal. And
okay,
both
so we'll get to that.
Small.
The red and the green are equal.
Yep.
On your preference, though. Okay. So then the less conscious makes sense, right? That's when you're like, I call it sometimes my PJs. It's when I'm like, I'm not trying to perform for people. I'm not trying to like think it's maybe Sunday on vacation, but sometimes it's also when Sunday's stressed. So it's when Erica's stressed, because I'm also not performing often for people or in my best place when I'm stressed out. Because mm-hmm. so if you think about it, when you're like I'm there for a great interview, this great red is showing up. But if you're like, Erica's having a bad day, maybe your red pulls down potentially. But when Erica is just chilling at home and on vacation, look how much your red goes down to 39%.
Yeah.
That is freaking interesting. That really is. It's really interesting because you're very red in your conscious state and really less below 50% in your less conscious state. So somewhere in your life or in your world, you've been told, girl, get it up. Get it up there with your performance. Get it done now state of mind, which by the way, might be exhausting.
Oh, so yeah.
We could have a whole conversation here, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Because the preference flow, the red and the green, that middle arrow, means these are the two colors I work the hardest at when I get into kind of performance and work mode.
Mm.
Because my red and my less conscious is 39 and my green and my less conscious is 37. Mm-hmm. But when I get into performance work mode, they are 63 and 61.
Yeah.
So the one that stays the most the same is yellow, which potentially means that your true state of mind is sunshine yellow. Who knows? I don't actually like to tell people that. I like people to like listen to what the report is saying and let you decide. It's like, what mm-hmm. do you think the report is saying? So
yeah.
So that, and then blue, of course, is your lowest color, but you still push your blue almost to a 50% in work mode.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're working hard. That's what I'm saying. You're working hard. You're working hard. Okay. What also is really interesting about you, could you go to the circle above? Do you have one of your circles in a gray spoke?
They're both, well, one's in gray and the other one is mostly in gray, but kind of in white.
Okay. So the other thing about the gray spoke, that's the 9%. Sorry. But the other one is also a really rare number. The 9% is called the creative type, which means that it's not creative, like super creative. It actually creates tension within themselves. And what it means is this: you are your highest in two conflicting colors. So most people in the world, Erica. So remember I just told you I'm a sunshine red and a yellow.
Yeah.
And so like I'm 50% in those two colors. Those are not opposite types. So that's very normal. You are 50% red, green, which are completely contrasting colors. See, okay. I just told you that red is like this, boom, get it done. And greens are like, chill out. Let me.
Which is, yes, that is so me. I'm like, and then I'm like, chill. And then I'm like, oh my God, let's do it. And then I'm like, chill. I'll feel like something is the most urgent thing in the entire world. And then all of a sudden I'll be like, you're not running an emergency room. Like, this isn't life or death. Like, you can take a breath. And I think it's kind of my way of regulating stress almost.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
It's actually very cool too. I think it's really cool that you're able to flip between chill and go.
It really is pretty much like that for me. Yeah.
And then of course, the interesting thing is that your consistent color is yellow, which means that in general, you really enjoy lightheartedness and people when you're not really thinking about anything.
Yeah. I think that's very accurate.
Yeah. So really what your order would be, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
Oh my gosh.
I would be like, okay, maybe I would do like most the rule book would say, like, cause I'm certified in it, would say that it would be your conscious. So it would be for you, it would be red, green, yellow, blue. They would say that this is what you are. They would say, cause they're going to say that mostly you show up to the world and you're conscious. So at work, they would say to put your blocks like that, you know?
Interesting. So, yeah.
But it is interesting that this particular color is a consistent theme when you're just in, it's like, it's above the 50% line all the time.
Which then that makes me, because it's so consistent on both sides, that makes me think like, oh, that would be the top because it's does the most stable.
In fact, it makes me want to call the company. And go, could we have a conversation?
I had this girl take this test and we don't know what to do.
And it's fascinating. And I just think that's really mostly, remember again, it's not about rules. It's supposed to just be thought provoking. It's just supposed to make you think. And so how does it help you grow? And then of course, if you were working on a team, that would be a fun discussion. And my favorite part about a team on the report side is I think page 9 and 10 is I always have people share. I think it's page 9 and 10. What do you need people to do with you to communicate? And what do you not need? Oh, I always have people who, so when I told you about that company where they use this as a hire after they're hired, what they do is they then share this with their managers and their managers share it with them. Mm. And it's just good to know. It's like, good to know. And then back to that relationship thing. My husband and I, of course he's done it. I'm a coach, right? We always pick, there's like 7 or 8 suggestions on them. So we're only on year 2 of doing this. In our marriage, like we've been married forever, but you get it, like the assessments in our life, 2 years. I always say that you can't change a whole bunch of things all at once. So we picked one thing each year to focus on. And so at the beginning of this year, we were able to pick it. We let the other person pick the one that they need less of. And so, and we work on it all year long. So I'm married to a high, high green. And last year he picked for me to interrupt less. And it was hard because I'm always like, he's like, it's rude. And he's like, you don't know what I'm actually going to say. And I, you know what I mean? And I'm like, I know, I'm so sorry. And of course I never do it with my clients. It's just, he's my husband. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like who you're the most comfortable with. And all year long I worked. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. And he was like, you're doing that thing, Sundi, where you're trying so hard to listen to me. I'm like, I am.
You're like, I can't help it. I'm just so excited.
I'm just listening. But he was like, Sundi, you made amazing progress in this one with me. And it made him feel valued. Right.
That's sweet.
And for him, I picked because I told on me, I got to tell you what I did. For him, it was like, when you make a decision, I need you to not take back the decision so much because he tends to make a decision then go, never mind. It drives me crazy because it's like so much. So I was like, I just need you to work harder that when you actually make the decision to stick to it. So last year he worked super hard at not declaring the decision until he felt pretty sure of it. Isn't that great? Yeah. It was so good for our relationship. And then we picked new ones this year.
That's so fun. I would have never thought that you could I would have never thought to use it in a way like that, you know?
Yeah.
I think these often get touted as like in the workplace.
Yeah,
who are you?
I know.
And so it's kind of interesting to be like, well, but we're more than just our work, you know?
Oh my gosh. And that's why even people wouldn't say, they ask me if I'm a, you know, executive career coach. And I'm like, yes. And then sometimes we'll be like, well, at home the other day, da-da-da-da. They'll be like, oh, is it okay that I just talked about my home? And I'm like, yes, because life affects work and work affects life. Yeah. And if one of them is off, we need to talk about it for a minute because it's going to affect the other. Now, am I leading as a life coach? No, I'm usually going to lead us back to the track of work, but talk about it. If you're not sleeping at night because your baby's crying all night, talk to me. It's going to affect your performance.
Totally.
And so that's kind of the way I preface it. Same with personality assessments. We need to better our relationships at work and at home.
Yeah.
Was there anything else that stood out to you? So does that help in the reading? Isn't that fascinating? The less conscious and the conscious and the preference flow. Don't you now just want to like have your friends take this?
it's like a fun, like actually people should do this for like a dinner party.
That would be really fun actually. Did you hear that one speaker? Oh shoot. Priya something. I'll send it to you later in the notes because she was on Glennon Doyle's podcast. You Can Do Hard Things. I love her. Glennon Doyle's one of my favorite, You Can Do Hard Things, but she was a guest on there and she was talking about intentionally gathering. Like that more people need to sometimes gather with purpose. Instead of just being like, let's hang. Like sometimes like women, she was talking about women just getting together, like picking a podcast and coming together and talking about it, or not just a book club. Do you get it? Like, or celebrating something very specific. This is one of those things too. That's so much fun to gather and have all your friends take it and then just share.
Yeah.
It's great.
I love that. Okay. My last note just on everything, did you want me to say anything else about
insights? No, just did you have any other aha that stood out on insights before you move on?
No, I feel like
you're good. You're good.
Yeah. I feel like we're good.
Okay. Go for it.
My last overall insight was that I was pretty surprised that three of them said the same thing, and it's very specific and it's not something that I would have ever thought any of these would have told me. In Myers-Briggs, it says, I move through life, not according to other people or society at large, but according to my wisdom and intuition. In Insights Discovery, it says, I value the gift of inspiration and intuition above almost everything else in all that I do, and that I need to know that I'm my own person and I will avoid people who seek to make me conform. And then in Six Types of Working Genius, it said, I'm naturally gifted at and derive energy and joy from using my intuition and instincts to evaluate and assess ideas or plans. And
what
I was so surprised by that, but it was so accurate because I feel like that's who I am to my core. Yeah. I'm very decisive. I know what we were talking about before we started recording. Like, I just have feelings in my body. And I've been like this my whole life. It's like, I know that is for me, or I know it is not for me. I don't spend a lot of time in the gray. I visit, but I'm pretty quick to make a decision and know, yep, that's for me, or no, it's not. And those three picked it up, and you specifically said intuition. And I was really surprised by that.
I love that. I love that. I love that you took the time to find themes. I always find that. I always, and even people who are very skeptical too, I'm always like, look for themes, just themes. What are some themes that stood out to you? Did you, what were your five strength finders?
Oh my gosh, we didn't say those.
That's okay.
I was a maximizer, competition, achiever, futuristic, and then individualization.
So we're both individualization. We're both that one. We have that one in common. Go ahead.
And that one I pulled out, it said you focus on strengths. You focus on strengths as a way to stimulate personal and group excellence. And I thought that was pretty accurate for me too. I really try to put energy into the positive of things, or like, and not wallow in problems and things like that.
I love that. My favorite thing about strength finders, this one's been around forever. I love it. There's 34 types. I love that this one's really about talent and preference. It's like, what is your preference? But it's also about like, what also can I grow in? It's like, how can I take this and tease it out more or less of? See, I always think your strength finders can either be good or bad sometimes. Like bad, good, bad's wrong word. Overused or underused. Sometimes I say too much in the balcony or too much in the basement sometimes. So for an example, I'm an activator, input, learner, connectedness, and individualization. If activator, okay. I am an activator. If activator is my greatest strength, when I was in a startup, awesome. When I was at Capital One, not so awesome.
Yeah.
Because they're like, slow down. They're like 5,000 levels of approval. They're like, it's all about consensus. So I had to take my activator and lower it. So your activator. So I think what's really interesting about your strength finders is you have to learn when and where to use them and how to grow them and lower them in certain settings. And I think that's a really great learning for each person is. And so I think that you should never, what I don't like is when people are like, well, I'm sorry, I'm an activator. You know, it's like, it should never be an excuse for feedback. Like, oh, you know, you do, well, I'm sorry, I'm an activator. No, you take your activator piece and you figure out where and how should I use activation in this culture and in this place, you know, and how should, or maybe this isn't the right culture or place for me. Because I love the activation, you know, it's like a great assessment piece there.
Yeah.
So one great group. So I do this one also in groups for teams as well. And one of my favorite exercises there is I'll tell tables to say from your top five, which one did you love that you're like, I love that this one came out on my report. Which one drives you crazy? And then of the 34, which one was not on your list that you envy in someone else? It's like just a fun, it's just a fun talking exercise that people love. And then also another one I'll ask is, are you surprised by any of these results by any on your team? Or did you think that there was one that would be on someone's report? And so there's a lot of rich discussion, like I'm surprised that. So mine tend to be a little bit more intellectual ones, like the learner and the input ones. And I've had a lot of people on my team think that I was going to have woo. I don't know if you saw that one on the list, but there's this one called woo.
No.
And it means that like woo is like in strength finders, like the person who walks in the room and people are just like, they just make magic kind of happen. Like they're like, and I tend to connect with people very easily and quickly. So people will think, oh, Sunday has woo. It's actually like, it is in there. It's just like 8 or 9, but learner and input are higher. So I've had a lot of people go, oh, I had no idea you like to learn and research so much. So it's like a hidden talent that people find out that I'm a bit of a nerd in my research side because I'm so sunshiny. It's a surprise. So it's great to learn from a team. So which one did you love on yours? Did you find one that you loved that you were like, I love that one? Or was it the individualization one?
It was, it was interesting because at first when I saw individualization, I was like, oh, this makes sense. But then it said that you are intrigued with the unique qualities of each person. You have a gift for figuring out how different people can work together productively. And so it felt a little more outward as opposed to inward.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't necessarily disagree with, but I also was like, oh, okay. I do think like the maximizer was pretty, accurate. And I also thought the futuristic was pretty accurate. You're inspired by the future and what could be.
Yeah.
Thinking ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I thought this one was pretty interesting like, just because there are so many.
There's so many.
34. Right. Yeah. And right. So there was a lot to read through with all of those. But, then I liked how it kind of like tells you how each one blends with the other and what that means.
Me too.
That was nice.
Yeah. Good ahas for each one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course I literally could talk to you for hours. Cause I'm like, I could analyze and ask you questions. And as a coach, what I love is when people bring their reports to me and I just like, I just love to say, what were your thoughts on that? And how does that reflect relative to your work? And some people have really big epiphanies around the wrong place that they are at in their life and big ahas about where they should be moving closer to from these assessments.
That's great.
Yeah. And I really love that. Or that they're in the right place. And I love that too.
That's also
great. That you just need to make, I have this one podcast out there called like One Small Shift. Cause I think that sometimes people think that you come to a coach and like, there's going to be this huge, abrupt change. I'm like, no, I think that the greatest joys in my own life and that I've seen in a lot of my clients have been one small shift that throughout your life, you notice when those small shifts need to take place. And if you keep noticing that, you find a lot of joy in those small shifts. And you're just like, oh, because all of a sudden you get like, ugh, you feel flat about something, but it doesn't need to mean to me, I need to move to Brazil. Like sometimes I just, by the way, I have a friend who just him and his wife and his 5 kids, they all moved to Barcelona. They went from Colorado to when they were all teenagers. So their kids couldn't speak any Spanish. Those kids hated their parents so much that first year. Their parents had a vision and their kids love their life now. So it is interesting too. It's also like, that's an important lesson for parents too, is like, don't listen. Like if you believe in something that much, you know, like they're bilingual now, they're multicultural. It's wonderful. But by the way, I was just throwing that out there. Like, but sometimes people also take a huge leap and they needed to.
Right. I think there's a time and place for both. And I think small shifts get demonized where it's like, well, how much is that actually going to affect? And it's like, it can affect a lot. Yeah.
Oh yeah. I went one time working from 5 days to 4 days. I felt like I had a new life.
I love that.
Thank you. I just felt like a whole new person for that season. It was when I had all the kids home and I was just like, I just felt like I'd never had a day to think because they were always when they were home, you know, on the weekends. Yeah. And I was like, I just asked my boss for this one shift, changed my life.
Yeah.
Like a better employee those 4 days because of that one shift we made. I was so happy. It's funny. I was so happy.
I believe it. I believe it for sure.
So good. So
Sunday. I was just going to say,
I was going to say, thank you. I love that. I love that in our last discussion, this came up. And you're like, this would be fun.
Yeah. It was really fun to dive into this, to learn about them. I think I can totally see why businesses or employers would want people to take these. I can see at a dinner party why this is fun. To me, they feel like tools. They don't feel like Bible or gospel. And like, this is how you have to operate now.
I love that you said that. Yeah.
And it's nice to have like another set of tools that like maybe I want to tap in and out of once in a while.
Yeah. Something to remember. So for those that are listening, you can do 3 of them completely on your own. I think, wasn't it like, see, there's our thumbs up again, $20, I think $20 or something, or 29 for like the Gallups and the Working Genius. And then the 16 was free. And if anyone's interested in the insights, you'll have my contact information. And that one, you have to work through someone who's certified in it. And that one costs $155 to take that one. And then if you ever want to unpack it with a coach, it's another cost to do it, but you don't need to. I can just send you the results and just listen to this podcast because I pretty much explained the graph to you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, as long as you understand the graph, you're good to go. So if you ever want to take that one, so that one's a little bit more expensive, but you also saw that it's like an extensive, that one's a much more extensive one.
It's like 20 pages of like in-depth information. There's definitely a lot there. Yeah. I'll link everything in the show notes for people. I'll make it really easy.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for having me and have a beautiful rest of the day.
Thank you, Sundi.
This has been a 58 Ember production. For more shows, please visit the 58 Ember channel, 58ember.com, or find us at 58 Ember Media on socials.